Condolences to all you Hulkamaniacs out there today. Hulk Hogan.
I'm curious.
Died at the age of 71.
Did Derringer write that song for Hulk, or did Hulk just... I'm curious. Maybe somebody that knows a lot about wrestling knows. Because I don't... Like, I had to look up who wrote it. I mean, that is the Hulk song.
It's
and I'm
Hulk
not even
Hogan
a wrestler,
yes.
Wrestling fan, and that's the Hulk song.
Right when I heard the news today, Hulk Hogan passed away. Like, I grew up in Lumsden, and we had, you know, me and my next-door neighbor, like, my best buddy, and we had a buddy, best friend across the street, and, it, like, we were WWF pay-per-views in their basement with their dads watching Hulk Hogan fight Andre the Giant and Randy Savage and Ultimate Warrior, you know, like, King Kong Bundy. Like, that was the era of when it was WWF for me. And you had the ring. We had the ring with the wrestler.
No, you did.
Yeah, we did. Absolutely, you did growing up. Don't pretend you didn't either. Well, you didn't. But I don't think you're the...
I didn't.
You're the
have,
outlier.
Okay, I didn't have television until I was 18.
Well, that would probably be an issue. But yeah.
So
Hulkamania.
I miss a lot of that.
How many kids out there, be honest, how many kids out there tore a shirt up to your mom and dad's dismay? Like, what are you doing? I'm Hulk Hogan. What you gonna do, brother? And you're... Get the scissors out to cut the shirt a little bit, like Hogan used to, and then just rip it off.
Yeah, no.
And then leg drop your best friend.
Didn't do any of that.
That was the quick flashback on, and he was like, Hogan was the guy in wrestling. I said earlier, I think The Rock probably surpassed him as the most famous big global wrestling superstar.
I don't know,
Hogan. But
I still think
now the person Terry, no, yeah, that's not a good dude. But the wrestler of Hogan and what he meant for a generation, yeah.
Well, it'd be interesting.
Mourning the loss.
We have Tom Anik on, and I'm interested to hear about like his impact on the sports entertainment world. Like that, I mean, he was, and he was, what was he not one of the first wrestlers that sort of crossed into other streams as well?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like the Rocky.
No Holds Barred and stuff like that. Yeah.
Movies?
He definitely was.
Some amateur stuff?
The body slam on Andre the Giant. Yes, Hulk Hogan died at the age of 71. Each and every day, we begin the Green Zone with the top sports headlines. Let's start with the Canadian Football League as the depth chart came out today. And look who's starting for the Elks.
The 32 of Toronto, Bajardo.
Yeah, he's back. Cody Fajardo, for the first time in his career since leaving after the 2022 season, will play the Saskatchewan Roughriders. He will start in place of Trey Ford for the Edmonton Elks. 5 o'clock is the Green Zone pregame show tomorrow. 7 o'clock is kickoff. I need to know, Saskatchewan, after Corey Mace, I asked him, I'm like, what do you remember when he was a teammate with Henry Burris? Like, oh, that was something when Hank came back. And he kind of joked, the players looked at Henry, he's like, what did you do here to have this vitriol? But he also says, if you want to treat Cody like you used to treat Henry, that would go great for Corey Mace and the defense. So will you be chanting Cody's name tomorrow, Saskatchewan? Let us know, 1-877-332-8255.
Quick reminder, it is the Purelator Tackle Hunger game tomorrow as well, so bring a donation for the food bank. We'll stick with CFL Thursday Nighter, baby.
Third and one from the gun underneath those those Thursday night lights.
Week 8 schedule. Singing we got Alouettes, Stamps, 7 o'clock start tonight. The Elks and the Rough Riders tomorrow here at Mosaic. And the Blue Bombers, Argonauts at 5 on Saturday. 5 o'clock start for the Ticats and the Lions. Do we want to go through our picks or no? Who'd you pick?
We have the same picks.
Exactly. No, I took the Argonauts.
You're taking the Argos over the Bombers with Nick Arbuckle?
I'm trying to take one upset this week, yep. Stamps, Riders, Argonauts, Ticats for me, and then you took the Bombers instead of the Argos. All right, there you go.
Thursday Night Football in Calgary this evening. As we mentioned, a loss of a wrestling icon.
And what you gonna do when Hulkamania and the largest arms in the world run wild on you?
Yes, Hulk Hogan. Died at the age of 71. Medics dispatched to his home in Florida, stating it was regarding a cardiac arrest. So Hulk Hogan, a lot of wrestling fans of a certain vintage had a recollection of a fighter, dozen more of Hogan, the NWO days and everything else. So one of the top wrestling icons, Hulk Hogan, dead at the age of 71.
By the way, we did get a couple of texts about the song as well. Apparently, he did not adopt it until after it had been released, and he wasn't the first one to actually use that particular song. So, thank you. I knew that the wrestler fans out there would fill me in. Baseball, Jays bounce back with a win and their most recent series against the Yankees.
Bichette lofts it. Left field and deep. Dominguez sprinting back. Runs into room. It's gone! See you later for Bo Bichette! A two-run homer, and the Blue Jays are doubling up the Yankees, 8-4.
And that ended it. Jays win the series. The Jays are 7-3 against the Yankees this year. They lost one their first series with them. They swept the second one. That was the four-game series just before the All-Star break. And then they won the third one, this most recent one. They will meet again in September. I believe that series is going to be in New York, if I'm not mistaken, for another three-game series. So if it comes down to a tiebreaker, the good news is that the Jays are ahead of the game there with respect to wins. So there you go. The Jays continue to roll.
And, of course, the breaking news that we've been covering all afternoon as the Superior Court Justice in Ontario, Maria Caracciola, has rendered the verdict of the five Hockey Canada players from the World Junior team in 2018, all five have been found not guilty in the sexual assault trial.
The judge said while delivering her ruling, the complainant had a, quote, tendency to blame others for inconsistencies in her story.
Yes, right from the hop this morning, the justice laid out that EM, the complainant in this case, couldn't really have testimony that she deemed to be trustworthy and that the Crown couldn't prove beyond a reasonable doubt their case, and then laid out for a few hours some of the findings and everything else. But just past about 1 o'clock this afternoon, all five players from that World Junior team found not guilty in London. That is Michael McLeod, Carter Hart, Alex Formanton, Dylan Dubé, and Callan Foote. Now it's over to Gary Bettman because they did do their own investigation and rendered these players on indefinite leave, and that's what had them out of the National Hockey League. There are those that say, good riddance, no team should go out and sign these players. There are others who say they're not guilty. They should be on the ice this September if teams do sign them because none of them have contracts currently in the National Hockey League. We're asking you out there today, what do you think now with a not guilty verdict? Should they be at training camps this fall? 1-877-332-8255. A lot to come here on the Green Zone. Britton Gray is going to talk to Cody Fajardo this afternoon. He's starting against the Riders for the first time. As you mentioned, Tom Manek will weigh in on the legacy of Hulk and Hulkamania and what set off really a golden age of wrestling with the death of Hulk Hogan today. We'll continue our NFL previews, and we'll talk more about your thoughts on Hockey Canada today. But coming up tonight, a Locker and I are going golfing and we're going golfing with Justin Wheels, and we're inviting you to join us in Regina tonight. Joanne Goulet, more details next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Overnight tonight, Netflix Happy Gilmore 2 drops. And we've got a Happy Gilmore competition for you today. Today, Joanne Goulet Golf Course. Locke, are you ready to go golfing, bud?
Absolutely. Let's go.
We are. It's the Happy Gilmore Invitational at the Joanne Goulet Driving Range.
Oh, sorry, Justin. It's Justin and Wheels that we're up against. Wheels should never go first.
Let's be clear, Jamie. You are up against Justin and Wheels. Like, the balance between the two of us trying to take you two on is going to be, it's going to be difficult.
Well, I saw the teaser video. It looks like, Wheels, you suck at this.
You guys, you get all your bad hits out in practice. I'm saving the good ones for tonight. Relax!
Locker, you've already been at the driving range practicing your Happy Gilmore swings for this?
I went and bought a small bucket of balls. I put 10 aside because there were still people on the driving range. I didn't want to look like a complete tool. So I hit some shots. And
you
then
practiced?
I practiced. Because I've only ever done this once, and I was intoxicated when I did it, so I wasn't sure if I'd be able to hit the ball. So I went out, and I out of the 10, I only missed the ball once.
I'm not practicing. I'm going to just show up, beat y'all with one swing probably is all I need.
I had one out of the 10 where I was like, I should almost work on this because I hit it like 350 yards.
So you got some retro trophies?
We got retro trophies, which men's and women's categories here.
Yes.
So top, longest. I'm bringing out TrackMan Lite, I'm going to call it. It's going to track the distances of how far we're hitting it. Plus, everybody who comes gets entered to win an authentic Happy Gilmore Boston jersey.
Oh, nice. So that's Joanne Goulet Golf Course. That's in Regina, 6:30 to 7:30 tonight.
Yep.
Right? 6:30, 7:30, Joanne Goulet.
Open to everyone. It's free. Bring your own driver. I have a couple of spares, but we may go through them quickly based on the kind of swings that we're making here. Grab a drink on your way past the clubhouse. Walk out to the driving range. We'll see you there.
Hold on. You guys are going to walk out of here and not challenge us to a bet? Like, put your money where your mouth is, gentlemen.
You guys think you actually can beat us, though?
This is Happy Gilmore golf. You're a great golfer, Jamie Nye. This is baseball golf. We're not losing.
I played baseball my whole life.
Yeah, but you're old. Remember, it doesn't work like that.
What are we betting?
Well, I think we got to do another booze bet, like Wheels and
you and me, and Jamie. Locker. We don't really do the glutens, so ciders for us.
Absolutely. Mangers. Let's go.
Okay, the good stuff. And then Wheels and Locker, it's beers for you guys.
Wheels knows what beer to buy me.
He owes me some Rebellion IPAs, so bring them back, Locker.
All right, the combined longest drives from each of us, what are we saying, five each? We take the best one out of five?
Sure, whatever. I only need probably one or two.
Write it down. We'll take it.
No.
He's maximum two for Jamie, five for Locker, five for each of us. Wheels, let's
go. No, I'm still doing five, but I'll only need, it'll probably be my second one will be my farthest.
Combined out of five is good. I like that.
Okay.
All right. Good luck. And don't hurt
yourself. Can't wait.
Don't hurt yourself, guys.
Can't wait.
Better wrap your ankle again, Wheels.
Here we go. Tonight, Joanne Goulet Golf Course in Regina, 6:30 to 7:30. Pop on by, bring a driver, give it your best Happy Gilmore run-up drive.
Bring some longer tees, too. When I was practicing...
I can't believe you practiced for this.
This is a competition. Here's the thing.
Are you like Wheels and hate losing?
It's not about that. I can lose. It's not about that. I knew that I needed to get out. I need to try things a couple of times to get a rhythm. I'm not a very good athlete.
Okay. I'm not worried about it at all. I've done this on the golf course many times.
See, I haven't.
It's good. All you need is hand-eye coordination like a baseball, and it's standing still. It's on a tee. Let's go. Let's hit it as far as we can. Joanne Goulet, 6:30 to 7:30. We'll see you there.
Anybody
can show up. They have a retro trophies.
And we're doing it. The trophies are for the longest shot. But the jersey, anybody can win that.
Everyone's... Anybody who shows up gets their name entered to win the Happy Gilmore Boston. Good night, good night. Jamie Locker with you here in the Green Zone on this Thursday afternoon. We have a lot going on here in the Green Zone. We'll talk about the Hockey Canada verdict today. 5 not guilty verdicts for the players accused of sexual assault from the World Junior Hockey Team, as the judge found the complainant to be a non-credible witness in her ruling today. So there's a lot to peel back there when it comes to this ruling and the future of 5 NHL players, all in their mid-20s. And Gary Bettman, the commissioner, now having to rule because the NHL did their own investigation. And like we've seen with the National Football League and other leagues, Locker, sometimes they're not going on the courts, are they guilty and beyond a reasonable doubt. They're looking at the evidence. They'll be reading the text and all that thing, all that stuff, and they can rule with their own suspensions based on they were all drafted in the National Hockey League. They're already part of the NHL, so we'll see what Gary Bettman rules. They've been on indefinite leave, similar to the NFL commissioners, kind of the commissioner's list where you're banned from playing for the now until their investigation. So that's coming down. Britton Gray is going to talk to Cody Fajardo as he faces his former team for the first time this weekend with the Riders and the Edmonton Elks. But we continue our NFL preview series, and Locker's Buffalo Bills are still trying to get to a Super Bowl with MVP Josh Allen. Is it their year?
It's our year.
Elena Getzenberg, maybe will tell us that from ESPN. It covers the Bills. But first off, Elena, are you going to be on Hard Knocks? Because they're around, aren't they, for the Buffalo Bills training camp?
That's one of the things you always have to assume you are, I think. So on alert at all times because those cameras are everywhere. So I guess we will see about that one. But thanks for having me on.
Well, it's great to have you. I'm curious about, first off, we'll get into the Bills, but Hard Knocks, it's a popular program. So many people watch it. What is it like when they arrive? Like, it seems like almost every news conference today and yesterday, they referenced the Hard Knocks, and if they're mic'd up, like, how big of a production and show or sideshow for a team is it to have Hard Knocks filming a training camp?
Yeah, it's definitely, I mean, it's undeniable. Like, they make an impact. Our press conferences alone, if you could see, like, the number of cameras, it looks significantly bigger. When the guys are on the field, they have the boom mics, like, listening to their side conversations that are not normally there or allowed. So it's very different. And especially guys who are mic'd up, like, during practice. Like, I heard they had 6 guys mic'd up during practice yesterday. That's a lot going on. And players, like you said, have noted it and been very aware of it. So it does have an impact. There are positives to it. Like today we talked to left tackle Deion Dawkins, and he was like, I love it. Like, I'm here for it. He's a big fan of the attention and that sort of thing. So there's guys who are into it, but it is, I heard they've got, it's about like 35-ish crew members, so they're all over the place during practice and stuff. So they are, their presence is definitely felt, and we're only 2 days into this. So.
Who were we talking to yesterday, Jamie, that said that they were disappointed by about 1,000 people that showed up at practice?
Jacksonville.
How many people showed up at the Bills practice today?
I do not have a number for you, but the stands, these tickets, like, are hard to get. So they do, they have, like, a system where they're released that the people, like, are competing for them. So I don't know exactly how many, but it was pretty packed today. And the stands,
you have to jump off a table?
No, we can. Training camp things are pretty calm, I'll say. Like, in terms of, it's also, they practice at 9:45 a.m. So people aren't as, you know, alcohol gets involved in table jumping for sure. Yeah. So that's less so when it's 9:45.
Elena, come on. Bills fans at 9:45 on a Sunday, they're jumping through tables.
The better way to put it is there's a lot of kids around. It's a family-friendly.
More family-friendly for a training camp for the Buffalo Bills. Okay, so is this the year? Is this the year that Locker can wear his Bills jersey to a Super Bowl party once again? Because they just cannot get over that hump. How do you feel about their chances in 2025?
They're as high as they, you know, they're up there. I think that this team has the potential, certainly, but we're going to say that every year, in my opinion, that Josh Allen is playing at this level. I mean, certainly coming off his MVP season, he was excellent last year. But there's question marks. This team, unfortunately, does have question marks. A benefit for them is that their schedule is not very difficult this year, so that should help. And, of course, the AFC East continuing to be not the best division in football, maybe we'll say kindly. There's some certainly struggling teams in the division, so that will always help their odds. But this team does, like, I think they've got questions along the defensive line, which has continued to be an issue. If they've got enough there, if they did enough, can Joey Bosa stay healthy? There's just, this team is good and has potential, but I'm not yet in a place to be like, wow, this is going to be the team to get it done, or, you know, have that kind of confidence that they can take, you know, that step. But anytime you've got Josh Allen, your odds are high. So they've certainly got a team that could do it, but I think they still have some question marks to answer.
Elena, I'm curious. This is the last year for Highmark Stadium. Is there any plans? I know you're boots on the ground, right? So you probably have a better sense of how they're going to say goodbye to the stadium.
Oh yeah, there's going to be so much stuff. So they just announced actually this week that for that last game, regular season game in week 18, they're going to be wearing their throwback red helmets for that game. So people were very excited about that. But there's going to be things all season long, kind of commemorating this last stadium, a whole bunch of events and things you can buy, and they're going to make sure to go out on a bang with it. It does help that their last two regular season games are at home, so that'll be certainly a time. It's against the Eagles and then the Jets, so those are going to be two games to highlight for sure in terms of remembering the stadium and all that, and then we'll see what happens in the playoffs. But there's a bunch planned. It does help that the new stadium is literally across the street. So, like, while you're, like, remembering this one, the other one, the new one's being built, you know, in visible distance, so it's right there. But it's labeled as their farewell season, and there's going to be so many moments where they're planning to celebrate it. But I think the red helmets is a pretty cool one.
So did they ask for the Jets for a guaranteed win night on the last night?
Well, the question is, too, like, week 18, Josh Allen and a lot of the starters might not be playing in that game, you know? Like, if they're going to have these cool red helmets and they might be sitting guys to be healthy for the playoffs, like, if they have things locked up. So it'll be interesting to see if that game matters or not. But certainly the Jets works out quite nicely for them.
Can they just make the red helmets permanent again? I love the red helmets.
Yeah. Current ones. I understand the red
one. I like the white. I'm with you, Elena.
Yeah, the white's a good one, too. Yeah.
Elena Getzenberg joining us, Buffalo Bills reporter, ESPN. As they break camp, they will be the focus of Hard Knocks through the training camp. But we've already know James Cook, final year of his contract. He wants to get paid. What is that contract status looking like for one of Josh Allen's favorites within that offense?
Yeah, that's pretty status quo at the moment, which is not much movement. It's clear they've been in this spot for a while with it now, a few months, where James and his people want a certain amount for him to be paid amongst the top running backs in the league. He at one point had shared on his Instagram $15 million per year, which would make him tied for the third highest paid running back in terms of, you know, yearly salary with Derrick Henry. And the Bills don't want to pay him that much is kind of like the long and short of it. They want to pay him. They want to keep him in the building, but they don't want to meet the price that he wants. So here we are. But the thing is, he is fully participating. He has said he wants to be out there with his teammates. He didn't want to get fined, which, you know, he's not making that much this year where he can afford the kind of fines that come with not being at practice that he has to be at. So right now, it's looking like the most likely thing is James Cook plays this year on this contract and they'll revisiting something would have to change. One side, we're just going to have to make some concessions to get him locked down, you know, before the months to come where the season actually gets underway. But that's just kind of where it is. We're like, because he's out there practicing, I mean, it's a good chance he ends up just playing under this contract this season and then we'll see where things go.
Elena, I have a Buffalo Sabres fan, friend of mine, and I chat with him not often, but a couple of times a year, and I usually end the conversation with, "Man, you should get some help." And there's a very different sort of mood when it comes to Sabres fans and Bills fans, and there's a very different mood surrounding the two organizations. And I know you can't compare the two. It's completely two different games. But you got to wonder why the Sabres organization just cannot lock anybody down or make anybody happy. And then you got a Bills organization. I mean, where people like they will die for that club. What are the Bills doing right outside of winning?
That's a good question because they have the same owner. So you would think that, like, you know, I totally understand what you're saying, that NHL and NFL are two very different things, but they are, Terry Pegula owns both teams. So there, you would think there is some, you know, one's been so successful and one, I have, you know, living in Buffalo, you hear a lot of, it's tough times for Sabres fans. It's been tough times.
Yeah.
And I think, to be honest, the Bills' success comes from that, who they have in charge of the organization, which is, yes, Terry Pegula owns it, but he hired, and Kim Pegula, when she was, you know, still able to help with things like this, was Kim Pegula was a huge presence in the Bills building when they hired Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott, and they took over this organization. And if they hadn't, who knows, the Bills could still be going through head coaches. They could still be going through the, you know, years of not making the playoffs like the Sabres are. But it is this leadership that took over the organization that, like, it is Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott's show, right? They are run, this is all comes down from them. Everything stems from them. And then, of course, it helps. You get a superstar. They got the quarterback right. Like, everything goes is easier when you get the star right. And obviously, that's kind of where NFL and NHL are different. We're like, there's not like a quarterback kind of quite like that, but it's they got a star correct, and then everything helps, and they put the right people in place to do that. So, you know, we can have a long conversation about the Sabres and who they've got in place, but I think that's what makes the Bills successful is it goes top-down, and that's everyone, you know. The leadership of those guys has been key these last, 8 years? And yeah. Then, yeah, they drafted Josh Allen, and it worked out.
Yeah, if the one bingo ball would have came out right, they'd have Connor McDavid instead of, you know, drafting Jack.
That's Eichel. Right.
Yes. One ball away.
Don't bring that up to Sabres fans. That's touchy.
Well, Elena, enjoy the rest of camp with that. I can't believe 35 people with the Hard Knocks crew are around there. That's insane. But, of course, the Bills once again primed and ready for what should be another interesting season in their climb to a Super Bowl.
One more quick question. So the mantra this year from Josh Allen is everybody eats. Is there shirts out? Have you seen anybody selling those?
Oh, so I haven't seen any from the Bills, but the team, like, themselves have hats that say everybody eats.
Okay.
I don't think the team itself does, but I'm sure you can find some. But it is very much so still a mantra, so it's out there somewhere.
I need an everybody eats hat. I was like, was Jamie?
That? I think that was a low-key hint at what Locker wants for Christmas, Elena. I think that's what that was.
Yeah.
Elena.
It's a good slogan.
Have a great afternoon. Thanks for your time today.
Thanks, guys.
It was awesome, Elena. Thank you.
Elena Getzenberg from ESPN covers the Buffalo Bills. Do you believe out there, will Locker be a happy guy in February with the Bills? Or are we just getting ready for Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce to be back in the Super Bowl?
I'm a little worried about the defense. They got like 20 new players.
Maybe that's a good thing. Or maybe not.
Coming up next, the Pine Tar Game on this day in sports, one of the most epic baseball ejections ever.
We'll relive it next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
This day in sports history, July 24th, the Kansas City Royals, the New York Yankees. It was 1983, setting the stage. It's the top half of the ninth inning, two out, one on. Up steps George Brett to the plate, and all hell breaks loose.
Uh-oh. That's gone. George Brett has just homered, and Billy Martin and the Yankees want the bat. Look at Martin.
Well, what they're talking about, Frank, is that he's got too much pine tar. They might be going to call George Brett out.
Well, the Yankees win it. He's out.
Yes, sir.
Brett is out. Look at this. Brett is out. And
he's steaming mad.
He is out and having to be forcibly restrained from hitting plate umpire Tim McClellan.
Oh, yeah. George Brett loses it and he snaps when he gets called out for having too much pine tar on his bat. The umpires inspected it. And, of course, that was the top of the ninth. That was game over. That was the third out of the inning. And Yankees win 4-3 over the Kansas City Royals. The Royals did protest the game. And the commissioner upheld the ruling.
To no avail.
But that video of George Brett losing his mind was, it's one of the most epic ejections ever.
Yankees manager last night, Boone, got tossed. He was right. I'm sorry. I'm cheering for the Jays, but my goodness, those were two awful calls.
That's this day in sports history.